Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicament Blog Talk Radio. As you know, today is Tuesday, and today is when we do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch, where you will be given biblical teachings from Pastor Dan Estelle from Higher Dominion Worship Center, along with myself, Jeanette Abney, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist. Now, today's topic is one of those topics that I was watching Tony Evans as he was, well, not watching, but listening to Tony Evans, and he was talking about some things, and it brought to my attention when they were talking about in regards to woman being created for man and talking about the ribs and how I've heard my pastor say that Adam was put to sleep as he was reading, talking about Genesis and Bible study. And it made me question a lot of different things when it comes to man and woman, especially as it relates to relationships. Now, when we start talking about that, even with relationships, many individuals become baffled and confused as they often struggle with understanding God's plan and purpose for our life. I just got off the phone with a friend of mine that I told my friends I was going on a date. So I took him out for his birthday, and we had a really good time, and it was fun, and it was interesting. So I'm looking at something he just sent me. And so basically we were talking about that, or just when it came up, and I was like, don't pick your rib. Now, a lot of times we go out and we try to find people, or we think this person is for us, and we go back to scriptures in regards to it's not meant for man to live alone, and we go back to Genesis, where it talks about in scripture in chapter 2, verse 24, therefore man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So, how did this all start? What was the purpose of God putting Adam to sleep, taking his rib and making woman? How do you really know if someone is your soulmate or your helpmate? So I'm waiting on Pastor Dan Estelle to join me as we discuss this topic. And he hasn't called me yet. I'm trying to see if I received any texts and messages. Oh, someone put on here, correct, God's plan and timing is perfect. We just have to be patient, trust, and believe God is really in control. I've grown to learn to surrender. That way I can't lose with that I use. God has made me whole through my triumphs and my tears, my battles and my wounds. God owes me nothing, and I owe him everything. I've been blessed and see parts of the world I was once oblivious to. I am beyond grateful, and my debt of gratitude can never be fulfilled. Nevertheless, I make routine deposits on my open account because my mama told me. And then she said, Byron, be blessed. You're blessed. And so, yeah, that is true. So I did read your things. I'm a signs of omission typo. Don't worry about it. I got busted for that this morning because I spelled your wrong. So, again, if you want to join in on this conversation, give us a call at 516-387-1914 as we talk about do not pick your own rib. Now, let me give the pastor a text and find out where. Oh, he said he's going to be on in 10 minutes. Okay, so I guess I'll keep filibustering until the pastor decides to call in because he said 10 minutes. Now, I had asked the question, and I wanted to get the answer from the pastor. When it talks about one, God putting Adam to sleep, and what was the purpose of that, and why God created woman from man's rib. You know, what if it would have been a toe? What if it would have been a finger? Why did it have to be a rib? And with some of the information that I'm looking at, and it talks about how it's amazing how God made man, and so beautiful how he made woman. Why did God create woman from man's rib? When he could have simply created her from dust, as he did man, this is a story that puts a beautiful touch on reasoning. And a lot of times we always question things, and they say, don't question God, because it indicates When I created the heavens and the earth, I spoke them into being. When I created man, I formed him from the dust of the earth and breathed life into his nostrils. But you, woman, I fashioned after. I breathed the breath of life into man because your nostrils are too delicate. I allowed a deep sleep to come over him so that I could patiently and perfectly fashion you. Man was put to sleep so that he could not interfere with the creativity. From one bone, I fashion you. I chose the bone that protects man's life. I chose the rib, which protects his heart and lungs and support him, as you are meant to do. Around this one bone, I modeled you. I created you perfectly and beautifully. Your characteristics are as the rib, strong yet delicate and fragile. You provided protection for most of the delicate organs in man, his heart. His heart is the center of his being. His lungs hold the breath of life. The rib cage will allow itself to be broken before it will allow damage to the heart. Support man as the rib cage support the body. Now, that was an interesting information that I just put out there for you guys, because a lot of times we're talking about relationships, you know, and taking it from this context in regards to why women was created. Sometimes we take things for granted. Sometimes we take people for granted. Sometimes we take relationships for granted. Now, it also, as I'm looking at this, and it says, you are not taken from his feet to be under him, nor were you taken from his head to be above him. You were taken from his side to stand beside him and be held close to his side. You are my perfect angel. You are my beautiful little girl. You have grown to be a splendid woman of excellence. And my eyes feel when I see the virtue in your heart. Your eyes don't change them. Your lips, how lovely when they start part in prayer. Your nose, so perfect in form. Your hands, so gentle to touch. I've caressed your face in the deepest sleep. I've held your heart close to mine. Of all that lives and breathes, you are most like me. Now, I would love for Mother Perkins to call in, because I remember being in church and it was misquoted where the guy had said that women were to be behind men, and she had a fit. And part of that was because she knew that it's to be beside, not behind, especially when we start talking about helpmates, finding soulmates, finding that special person to be with you. And a lot of times we misrepresent, or we, like I said, we take that and we take it and we take it all out of context. Now, as I'm talking, I tell people I don't like talking to myself, and I really hate that today my ears are still clogged as I'm still experiencing and waiting on my healing to come, so I know it's on its way. But again, if you have any questions or you want to call in before the pastor call in, give me a call, 516-387-1914. And for those that know me and know that I don't whisper, I'm not trying to talk in my sexy voice, I'm still sick. Now, when we go deeper into this scripture, and like I said, I have a gang of questions for the pastor. When we talk about this, and we talk about in regards to how woman was created from man, and how this image was to be. And I'm looking at something, and it said, Adam walked with me in the cool day, and he was lonely. He could not see me or touch me. He could only feel me. So everything I wanted Adam to share and experience with me, I fashioned in you. My holiness, my strength, my purity, my love, my protection, and support. You are special because you are an extension of me. Man represents my image, women, my emotions. Together, you represent the totality of God. So man, treat woman well, love her, respect for her, for she is fragile, and hurting her, you hurt me. What you do to her, you do to me. In crushing her, You only damage your own heart, the heart of your father, and the heart of her father. Woman, support man in humility. Show him power of emotions I've given you, and gentle quietness. Show your strength and love, and show him that you are the real that protects his inner self. And that was so beautiful and eloquently written, because I think that a lot of people really need to hear that, and a lot of people need to express that. Now, because the pastor is going to call me, let me call somebody, because I don't like doing this. And again, if you want to join in on a conversation, give me a call, 516-387-1914. I want to say if he's listening, he probably see I'm calling him because he know I'm on the air.
Hello.
Okay, now I need some help. I got you.
Oh, Lord.
I got you.
I'm in the house.
Look. Okay, I had to hang up. He was too busy fussing. I think I should have told him before I called him that he was live on the radio while he fussing. Let me see this man a text. Okay, again, we're still waiting on the pastor to call in, or either my godbrother to call in, and now he's calling me back. Good Lord, I was telling you, you was live on the radio. I was taking the phone away from the air while you was fussing. Hold on, the pastor is on now. Let me log the pastor on. Good morning, pastor.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good morning. I guess I'm just in time. Y'all talking about people lying on the radio.
Wait a minute. I'm calling people. He fussing and cussing and going off about stuff. I'm like, you lied on the radio. You on the radio. I'm trying to take the phone away because I'm trying to talk because my ears are clogged. And then I hung up in his face. He called me right back. Like, oh, my God. Ooh, baby, Jesus.
Well, God
okay,
bless
pastor.
You. It's good to be here.
Thank
yes.
you very much.
Glad to be here. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Pastor Dan Estelle with the Higher Dominion Worship Center. We're located at 800 West Mission Road in the beautiful city of San Marcos. And we're glad and happy for everybody who's listening and tuning in today. We have a great topic on today. And have you guys started? I'm sure you got started already. So how was your introduction?
My introduction was interesting. I talked about a lot of different information as it related to why God created woman from man's rib.
Uh-huh.
And I went on to talking about how God made such a beautiful thing when he made woman, and how the woman was created from man's rib. And that was why, with the topic, I was with Joanne, and we were listening to Tony Evans, and he was talking about picking your own rib, or he was talking about the rib, and I said how sometimes we go around thinking that that person got my rib, that person got my rib, or trying to find this mate and this soulmate. But when we start talking about that, and even how women treat men and how men treat women, and I was sharing how we was in church the other Sunday, and Wade was saying something about women was to be behind man, and Mother Perkins had a fit. Because she was like, no, it's not behind, it's beside. So a lot of times individuals get misquoted scriptures. And we have to be careful when we put that out there, because when we're talking about relationships, a lot of individuals don't know what that means, because a lot of times that's not taught. And even I talked about how when it talks about how Adam was put to sleep and what that was about. And how we talk about it's not meant for man to be alone, but that doesn't mean he got to become a whoremonger, which I didn't say that earlier. But, you know, but when we start talking about these things, a lot of individuals don't know what that means. So we need your help by offering some biblical teaching to help us understand this topic.
Yes. Well, we a lot and almost everything that you're talking about is covered in Genesis, the second chapter. And so what's important for people to understand is that I'm going to start with your statement when you said, quoting scripture, that the Holy Spirit, Christ Jesus, and God, and the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so I want people to understand that this is God speaking, the Godhead, the Trinity, and speaking, and the Lord is saying of his creation, this is God speaking, the Godhead of its creation. It's important for people to understand that because a lot of people do think, even though it's written in scripture, that this is somebody else talking, but it's not. It's the Lord saying it is not good for man to be alone. Before that, the Lord looked and he saw that everything else had a mate, okay?
Uh-huh.
And when God said that, he was thinking about the psychological well-being of the man, his social
uh-huh.
well-being, and he's looking at also his creativity. And
uh-huh.
what he's saying about that is that what he's saying, it's not good for man to be alone. He's not saying that it's bad either. He's just saying, he's saying that he could be so much better and
mm-hmm.
there is a vast improvement, okay, when man has a helpmate. And so what we understand is that God is recognizing, okay, this is the most important thing, that the Lord is recognizing that it's not good for us to be alone. When he's saying
mm-hmm.
man, he's speaking of man, it's generic for woman too, vice versa, is that we work better. There's an old saying that says
mm-hmm.
two heads are better than one. And what
correct.
The Lord is saying is that can you function alone? Yes, obviously, because
mm-hmm.
Adam was for a time. But what the
correct.
Lord is saying is that for what I have you to do, aha, everybody write that down. Capture that. He's saying, for what I have you to do, for the purpose that I have for you, for the purpose for which I have created you, it's not
mm-hmm.
good for man to be alone. You see, because, first of all, one of the purpose of man was to take care of the earth and to populate it, repopulate
mm-hmm.
it. And what the Lord is saying is that you can't create life by yourself. Okay, and then also the purpose that I'm giving you, the task that I'm giving you is so much that it could be done so much easier with help. And
without
then not just
true.
That, and then not just that, the Lord is saying that there are some needs that woman or that man can't take care of by themselves alone. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and the list is long. Okay, I can have a conversation by myself, Jeanette, but a lot of people will think I'm crazy. So can I have conversation by myself? Yeah,
yes.
But it's better if I have conversation with my wife. Can I eat by myself? Yes, but I love eating dinner with company. You know, can I? Can I do a lot of things by myself? Yes, I can. But the Lord's saying it's good, it's better to have companionship. And that's what we're saying. And so here's another point that's really huge, that if I tend to agree with God on one thing, I'm going to agree with God on all things. And if the Lord is saying this, then I'm paying attention to it. Okay, this is not my best friend. This is not a counselor. This is not a therapist. This is not a pastor. This is God saying this, and he's speaking it to Adam, the father of humanity, and he's saying that it's not good for man to be alone. And what he's saying that, he's speaking to all mankind. He's speaking to creation right there because
mm-hmm.
he is He is the creator. And so what he's setting now is what I call the optimal rule, the optimal outline, okay? And I use the example of putting a bike together. You can. A lot of people, they get the bike. It comes in a box for their kids. You've probably done this in a tricycle, whatever. And we start putting it together, and it don't look like a bike. You look like a unicycle. And then we get mad. We stop. And then all of a sudden we go back, and we pull out the instructions, and we start laughing. And then when we follow the instructions, we can put the bike together. But what happens
is
that leave it alone.
No,
you're going to ride this no matter how I put it together.
Thank you.
So,
I was going to say, you could do like me. I take the picture, and I look at the picture and try to put the bike together based on the picture, and the whole bike fall apart. Pick the handlebars, and
exactly.
Pay no attention to what I'm supposed to do.
But we're not looking, you know, and we completely disavow the instructions. And so, and that's what the Lord is saying. God is saying that I'm giving you the way. I'm giving you the way to do it right. I'm giving you the way for it to be easy. I'm giving you a way right now. And he's saying that I still give you a choice, though. The choice is up to you. So, and as we see right now in 2019, there are a lot of choices out there, aren't there, Jeanette? There's a lot of different ways that people do it.
Man.
And so So what we're trying to clear up today is that, you know, why the Lord chose to do it this way. So
that is
I'm going to go back and get in a little deeper now, unless you want to comment on what I just said.
No, I'm sitting up here looking at text messages, and somebody sent me something. I don't know what country he's coming from. He called me, texted me from. You think my grammar was horrible this morning, which I was texting when I was driving last night. That's why I put that out there. Someone said,
so just decipher the question.
It wasn't even a question. It says something about, because they text me. You know, they sent me a thing talking about, it's been a while. I've been chatting with you, but no response. Hope you're good. I don't respond to people contacting me on Messenger. Half these people I don't even know. And I just said, I'm on the radio right now. And I sent the thing, and they said, oh, that's nice. This is some sermon I love hearing. So hopefully he'll listen to the radio. I don't know who it is. But by that same token, we're talking about this, don't pick your own rib. And I'm going to log on. I know this is your sister, so let me log her on. But I got a text message, and she was talking about how we were listening to Tony Evans, and you were talking about how he created the characters, and he was talking about Mr. and Mrs. Bear. But he had us cracking up when he talked about Mr. and Mrs. Roach and how everybody had somebody but Adam. And it goes back to what you were saying. It was what he had for Adam to do. And a lot of times, that's where we get confused, is because we go in it with our own agenda. We go in it trying to do what we want to do without looking at or adhering to the instructions from God. Now, Lady T, are you there with us?
Number
ending in 3-2? Okay.
Yeah,
just making sure. I apologize. You was on hold for a while, but I quit you on. Do you have any questions for the pastor in regards to don't pick your own rib?
Oh, no. Uh-huh. Right now I'm just listening.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
pastor.
So, yes. So what we have is we have a lot of information about this because there's a lot of experts or people who titled themselves or people who other people have titled experts. And what we have to do as believers, this is a show for believers, anybody can listen, but believers, you want to make sure that you're following the Lord's instructions. And so when we do that, you know, we're better off. We're better off because, like we said earlier, it's going to help us fulfill that purpose. And that's what's key for believers to understand that. So here we are. Here's an individual, and we have all types of scenarios. We can have the individual who is divorced. We can have the individual who's never been married. We can have the people who are shacking. We can have the situation where someone is a widow or a widower. We can have the situation where we have young people and they are, you know, single and not even thinking about being married. And there's a lot of situations out there. And so each one of them, as uniquely different as they are still all the same. And what I mean by that is that it's not good for us to be alone. And so what that means is that for some of us is that we might be in a holding pattern. We might be in a healing pattern. Some of us might not be alone, but our relationship is in turmoil or in a quandary. And we have all these things that happen. And what you have to say to those people is that God is still with us. God is still with all of us. God hasn't, you know, left. He's there. God is, you know, has a plan for all of us. God has been with us since the very foundation of the earth. The Lord is there. It says the earth is his and the fullness thereof. Okay? And so God has something for everybody. And what we have to learn to do is to hear the voice of the Lord. Because I think this area, almost more than any other area, can really throw off a person's course, if you will. It can change their trajectory in life, their position, by making the wrong decision. And then by making the right decision, it can propel you, it can thrust you and excel you. And then also I want to use the word illuminate and light you up, because there's nothing like being paired with a person who understands you. And that's what happens when God is in the mix. And so that's what we have to understand. And so we have a lot. Go ahead.
And you know, Pastor, a lot of times, like I said, we get ourselves caught up, because sometimes we have to take time to get to know ourselves too. Because even when I was reading the information and talking about man and woman, and sometimes you might think that that person is the right person for you, but then yet they're struggling, like you said, because people are in different places. And I want to go back to last night. I took a friend out that I had not seen in over 10 years, because I guess he was mad at me for 10 years, but that was okay. But we had a really good time for his birthday. And I was telling Joanne, because I received an email on Friday, and the email said, "I'm crazy about you. Throughout my day, I can't seem to focus because I'm always allowing you to steal my thoughts, to let you hurt me, and I'm afraid." And I told Joanne, I said, "I'm so sick of this. I ain't got time for this." Because when you're talking about a person being hurt or a person going through that stuff, they have to, and I was reading as I was going through this, and it was talking about emotion and how God took the rib and formed woman, and he said, "Man represents my image, woman my emotions. Together you represent totality of God. So man, treat woman well, love her, respect her, for she is fragile. In hurting her, you hurt me. What you do to her, you do to me. And crushing her, you only damage your own heart, the heart of the father, or your father, and the heart of her father." And then it goes into woman support. Now, when we talk about even dealing with emotions, sometimes if we go back biblically, and then we even talk about relationships and how these things are formed, a lot of this is not taught. And I know you being a pastor, me being a therapist, I work with so many couples that are dealing with these issues when you start talking about emotions and feelings and this is what I thought he was going to be or I thought she was going to be, and they turned out to be something different. And the guy that I took out for his birthday, he texted me earlier and was talking about Ecclesiastics. And that's what came to him when he was talking about, you know, there's a season for things. But what about relationships? Is there really a season when we're talking about this type of topic?
I think that's a good question. It is, I think I'm not going to say season. I think I'm going to say timing. And what happens is that timing is huge, because oftentimes you have a situation, more so than not, you have a woman who's ready to be married and a man who's not. And what happens is that you'll have a situation where somebody has been thinking about marriage for a long time, and somebody is getting married because somebody keeps putting it on their mind. Mm-hmm. And so what you have is that somebody who's excited about the relationship and someone who's not. And what people have to learn to understand is that the timing has to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cousin named May, and so many people thought that May was never going to get married because she was engaged to her husband. They were engaged for like 15 years and finally got married. And it was a matter of timing in that situation. And what happened was that they got so much advice during that time. If he ain't going to marry you, then, and they're like, you know, man, she's trying to force you to marry her. And what they said was that they got so much advice, but they didn't listen to other people. They stayed together.
Correct.
And finally, they got married. And they got married when they both were ready. They got married when it was the right timing for them. And they're still married. And and everybody said, now, we always knew they was going to get married. All the people who was telling them to break up, it's not be together.
Oh, wow.
And so there's so many different situations and circumstances. But they knew they were right for each other. And timing was the issue for them.
Correct. And timing does play a role, because sometimes people may not be ready, or they may still be dealing with old hurt and pain from other relationships. And you don't want to force yourself onto someone, or that person, you know that person is not available. So you have to be careful, and you also have to know the warning signs. And I can't wait to tell Joanne what I did, because I think I messed up. And the man picked me up in Compton, and with a driver, and I invited the driver to come celebrate his birthday. So I can't say I was being a scary cat. He looked at me like, he's the driver. Why are you inviting the driver into the restaurant? I was like, come on in and celebrate with us. So we had to drive the whole night, sit there eating with us. It was so funny. So then he's like, here, I done sent the car to come pick you up, and you done invite the driver, and he had to celebrate with us. Okay, it's your birthday. Celebrate with the driver, too. So,
right.
But the thing is, we have to be, like I said, very mindful of that. Pastor, do you think that it would ever get to the point to where, especially in church, I know that we talk about couple counseling, single ministry. We talk, you know, some churches do different things. What can churches do better to help individuals that are struggling with this? Because I hear, and I'm talking about from a therapeutic perspective, a lot of times individuals call me and marriage counseling is not covered under their insurance. So they have to use a different route of trying to get some help. And sometimes they get frustrated because they really want someone to talk to navigate through some of these things. But what can we do better to teach individuals about relationships?
Well, you hit a couple of the points right on the head. The most important thing is that pre-counseling. And the pre-counseling, I think, is the biggest thing, because when you counsel couples that are in trouble, more than 70% of the time, and this is huge. They did not have pre-counseling before they got married.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the reason is because, see, this is where believers get in trouble because they're like, if it's God, then we know everything's going to be okay, and so we're just going to get married. And that's a huge mistake because I don't know how many times I can say it, is that if you bring two people from two different backgrounds, two different cultures, doesn't matter if they're the same race or not, and those two people are talking about living their whole life together, you need to know more about them than just their name and their favorite food.
Correct.
You need to know their tendencies. You need to know, you know, how they recharge their batteries. You need to know their 5-year plan, their 10-year plan. You need to know their background. You know, there's been people who got married who didn't know that the other spouse had kids, was paying child support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was a baby daddy, was a baby mama. You know, they didn't ask. And
correct.
One of the biggest problems is a lot of dates that people go on are excitement dates, and they're not communication dates. And and that's a huge point. And what I mean by that is that if you go to the movies, naturally you're not going to be talking to each other. You're watching a screen. If you go to a football game, if you go to a sporting event, if you're going to a concert, you know, you're not communicating. You're not talking. And what you have to do is mix in the social time with time to sit down and communicate, and then now do some homework. If you think that you found a person that you can spend the rest of your life with, the next 5, 15, 20, 50 years with, then you have to sit down and do compatibility tests. You have to sit down and do financial tests. Are we financially, you know, adapted to each other? Are we emotionally equitable? Are we socially compatible? You know, you can't, you know, I counseled a couple one time where the man, everything he liked, the wife didn't like. And everything she liked, he didn't like. And I said, well, why did y'all get married then? Because we both faked that we liked what we liked because we didn't want to mess up. We thought, you know. And here she is pretending to like, you know, football, and she don't. And here he is pretending to like watching, you know, romantic movies, and he can't stand them. And so, you know, she's going to expect you to keep liking that. He's going to expect you to keep liking those things. And so, you know, people bending for the wrong reasons and people giving in for the wrong reasons. And, you know, I had a couple who, you know, so a lot of these things are deal breakers. One wanted kids, one didn't. They never discussed it. You know, one likes to travel, one doesn't. They didn't discuss it. One wants to buy a home, the other one doesn't like home ownership. These things have to be discussed. And then you have the situation where one person is extremely social, where they have to be out of the house, you know, 3-4 times a week, and the other person is a homebody. And so can some things be compromised? Yes. Can some things be worked on? Yes. But in a lot of situations, a lot of these things are so huge that they can't be. And then you have issues now because, you know, you've been together, you've purchased things together, you've done things together, you've blended finances, you've blended investments, you've blended children, you know, all these types of things. And then now you have, you know, huge fallout. And so it's important.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, Pastor, it's because also people do things more for convenience. You know, you got people hooking up, stacking up, and wasting their time. And it's, you know, you got to be careful with who you connect yourself to. Because we did shows in regards to soulmates. We talked a lot about being equally yoked. We talked about helpmates. And a lot of times individuals, they get so caught up in trying to determine if it's love, if is it lust. So there's
so much going on. So it's ridiculous. And I always say when you know better, you do better. But I would also like to put together some type of form to help a lot of couples that are struggling and going through, because a lot of times individuals don't realize how it affects their children, you know, the long-term effect of divorce, the blame game, and sometimes they carry that emotional baggage into also other relationships if you're not prepared. So you have to learn how to heal. It goes back to me reading that email. You know, if you're afraid, what the heck are you afraid of? You know, you need to work on that. I can't do anything to help you with your insecurities because that's going to get on my nerves. So those things are just some red flags, and you can't make a person think that it's all them if this is the stuff you're dealing with. So, and my response was, I would know you to lead. And if you can't lead, I can't follow. I ain't going to be wasting my time no more. I'm getting too old for this.
So one of the things we learned about the Lord is that God says, if you handle my business, I'll handle yours. It's a faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
And and we believe in that with our finances. We believe in that with our careers, with our jobs. We believe in that with businesses, investments, with contracts. But people have to learn to believe in that also in relationships. And what I mean by that is that when the Bible says that God knows the desires of your heart and he'll give you the desires of your heart, he knows the desires of your heart. And so in his time, in his season, God's going to do it. One thing I told an individual I was counseling before was that she's saying, when's God going to send me Mr. Right? When's God going to send me Mr. Right? And I'm like, where are you at? And she said, right now. And I said, yeah, she said, in counseling. And I said, okay, when you get yourself together, God going to send him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he has gotten himself together, you know, God going to send him to someone who's gotten it together. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but means that, you know, you still got baggage you're working on. And so if you go to somebody right now with all your baggage, you might scare him. You might scare her
That's
away.
True.
And a lot of people will say, well, I'm going to take you anyway, baggage and everything. At least you're honest and this and that.
Yeah, but that's dangerous.
And then they find out that the baggage is real. People have to understand, if you're going to get together with a man that already got four kids by three women or two women, you're going to have to communicate with those women. You're going to have to deal with those children. You're going to have pickup. You're going to have drop-off. You're going to have delivery.
Yeah.
You're going to have child support. Okay? You're going to have to deal with the emotional needs of those children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're going to have to deal with that you might be the good mom. Their mom may be the bad mom. And, there's so much. You're going to have to deal with jealousies, envies, security issues. You know, you're going to have to deal with so much. And you have to say, people always laugh when I say this, but I look at them and say, there's a million other men out there.
That's
there's
true.
A lot that aren't carrying this baggage, but this the one, but this the one, but this the one.
Yeah.
And they get so caught up into that language. And so that's what we have to understand.
And, you know, Pastor, I want to throw this out there because I was speaking with someone the other day, and I had to let that person know that your husband – do not understand your bipolar disorder. So when you go into these mood swings and you become violent and you start having these temper tantrums, he don't know what to do with you. He starts shaking his head because it was true. And she didn't know how I knew that. Because if he's never dealt with someone that has a bipolar disorder and you're wondering why he's cheating and you're wondering all these different things, a lot of times individuals, they bring it to their childhood trauma. They bring it to things that they've seen in other relationships, and they try to make it work. But you're not going to fit a square in a circle or a circle in a square. So we do have to be more mindful, because even though we start talking about, like you said, there's a lot of other people out there, and it doesn't. And being alone is not being lonely. Individuals have to come to grips with that, because a lot of times, a lot of these scriptures is so misquoted. And I want to go into when it talks about, even with James chapter 1, 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given, and it will be given him. Because a lot of times we're going to be asking God for the wrong thing. Lord, send me this, send me that. I'm tired of being by myself. I'm like, anybody got time for all of that? I ain't got time for somebody got drama and they bag.
Well, it's so true. God knows what we need, and God will give us what we need if we ask for it. And what we have to understand is that the enemy's job is to distract us and use distraction to keep us from asking for what we really need. And what happens is that God is like, you know, God, don't you see me? The Lord said, I see you. And the Lord is like saying, you know, you made your choice. You keep asking God for something over and over again. God said, all right, let me give it to you. And then I'm going to see how you're going to handle it now. What I had for you, you couldn't wait on. And so now I'm going to give you what you've been asking for. Now here it is. And here's why I didn't want to give it to you.
And I know with God, when he found this.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what God probably was giving to me, I ran from it. I was a runner. gotta go. Too close to me. Gotta go. Too close. And
then
go. And now that I'm older, I'm like,
you know what? The important thing is that it's not too late. That's what I tell people. If God has it for you and has it in his timing, he knows when you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when it's going to happen for you. Adam had been, you know, doing his job. And the Lord looked around and said, hey, it's not good for him to be alone. But Adam wasn't complaining, and not once did Adam say, hey, everybody else got a mate except me. And so,
I know.
Well, peer pressure is huge. And it's a thing. You know, you go to enough of your friends' weddings, people are going to start asking you when you get married. And, you know, you show up enough events by yourself, people are going to say, well, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with you. Ain't nothing wrong with the picture. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with the situation. When God gets ready to bless me, the Lord is going to bless me. And so that's what people have to understand. And some people, you know, go ahead.
And I was going to say, and we got to be careful with how we treat people as well as treating ourselves. You know, you can't, like they say, you can't ask for a queen if you're not a king. Or you are being a king and you're looking for a princess. She's not ready yet. So a lot of times we get caught up in that, and we have to be mindful of that. Lady T, you have any comments, questions you want to add to this topic as we're talking about this? Because she's being too quiet.
I'm just listening. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know, sometimes we, you know, wait and we get in relationships we think are right, and then when they go wrong, it's like, hey Lord, what is going on? I mean, you know, what do we do? How do we handle this? I mean, do we just pray through the situation? Do we walk away from it, or how do we deal with it?
Yes, you pray through the situation, and what you have to understand is that for people in crisis, there are a lot of obstacles and barriers coming because, see, when, just like when we opened up and we said people have a lot of purpose, a lot of gifts, a lot of callings, and then the Lord uses to help me, to help them bring them out. What happens is a lot of people can get caught up in life and people and get caught up listening to the wrong people, and they can't understand what the Lord is trying to do and what the Lord is really doing. And then you have to go back to, you know, some people don't have a good foundation. Some people don't have some men don't know how to be men. Some women don't know how to be women. They don't know how to be married. They've never seen a good marriage.
That is true.
And then sometimes people, you know, go back to what they know in crises. And when crises comes, you know, they go for what they know instead of seeking help. And these are people who could know God and who could know the scriptures. And what happens is that without that foundation, they don't understand a lot of things. There are people who have curses on their family with divorce. And then they have to understand, now I need to break this generational curse. There are people that have generational curse with promiscuity, with lying, with, you know, mistrust, a lot of things. And so, and this is where, more than anything else, it's important to get to know a person up front. And then if you don't, being able to get through the issues. And that doesn't mean both people are. If you have two people that are willing to say, we here now, let's get through this. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's do the work it's going to take. Let's do the counseling. Let's do the praying. Let's do all the communication we need. And let's get down. Let's get honest. Let's get dirty. Let's get it all out. And let's start all over again. Okay?
Correct.
And that's what happens in the good situation. And this is what I'm trying to tell people, is that a lot of people think that when you foul that person is going to be Xanadu, and that is that no. We're going to heaven. And while you're here on this earth, you're going to go through some things. And let me share this. God sent Adam a wife and said it's not good for man to be alone. And not even a few months later, she got him kicked out of the garden.
And he stayed with her.
And he yet said, "This woman you sent me." He said that to the Lord. And so they recovered. They made restitution with God. They went on and had children. They went on and had other children, and the Lord blessed them with a long life. But what I'm saying is that it wasn't Xanadu. It wasn't like bliss. They had to go through some issues. They had some issues that they had to deal with, and the Lord blessed them to go through the issues, because the issues are part of the fall. And so, that's what we have to understand.
I want to say this too, Pastor. A lot of times people talk about patience, but the bottom line is this: people are who they are, and you can't change people. Only God can change people. I always, even when I'm doing marriage counseling with couples, I always first ask their commitment to the relationship, because a lot of times people come into counseling or pastoral counseling because they were given an ultimatum, and they're afraid, and they want their cake and eat it too, because they saw daddy doing it, they saw mama doing it, or they saw things that happened in their family, and that's what the way they think things are supposed to be. Because I recall telling a person one time, this man was going to leave you. And she thought, he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going to never leave me. I'm making all the money. I'm an attorney. I was like, no. Because of your nagging and whining and complaining and fussing and being controlling, when that other woman was there for him, he was too ready to leave you. And when he admitted it, she just busted out and started crying. Now, I want to read something, and then I'm going to let you guys finish with this, because my ears are clogged and everything. But it talks about falling in love with someone who wants you and cherish you, someone who understands you even in the madness, someone who helps you and guides you, someone who is your support, your hope. Fall in love with someone who forgives you after, when you talk about after something has, after an argument or a fight. Fall in love with someone who misses you and wants to be with you. Do not fall in love only with a body or a face. Fall in love with a heart and soul. Because we get so caught up in so many other materialistic things. They come from a good family, or they come from a big family, or they got money, or they got... No, that's not what you should fall in love with, because that's going to wind you up in divorce court or with a broken heart where you're trying to heal. So we really have to do better when it comes to these things. And also what we're teaching our girls. I remember hearing things about people being gold diggers and you need to find you a man. And God. No, you don't need to do all of that. Work on you. And then when they find you, then and they ready, then together you can do a whole lot, especially do a lot of ministry.
Yeah, you make some good points. That's a really good statement that you said. I want to go back to the point that you were stating earlier about the woman being in her position because she thought she could handle all of his creature comforts and she was trying to buy love. God didn't create. See, that's not a rib situation. That is a, you know, that is almost like a jig of, it's a controlling, but it's also, you know, it's a manipulative situation. And what happens is when there's a change of role and change of identity, there is lost destiny. And so what happens is that no matter who is the chief breadwinner, you have to understand that as a couple, it's ours. And what you have to understand is that you want to empower each other. And the other point about that situation is being equally yoked. You know, it almost sounds like she was in a stronger position than him. They were unequally yoked. And the needs that he was providing her helped her but didn't help him. And so what you have is a situation that the person in power thinks is going to be long-term, but it's not. It's temporal. And that's what these situations happen. When a relationship is unequal, when a relationship is not equally yoked, it is a temporary relationship at best. You know, other things that come from it are, you know, violence and, like we said, divorce and all the other collateral damage. What people have to understand is that the situation that comes to mind right now, again, is Kate Spade, the rich lady designer who committed suicide. And everything points to the fact that her husband didn't want her no more. And so what happened was and people said, how could he not want her? And the speculation, and because I don't know all the facts, but a lot of people say she was married to her business, and her husband was just, you know, he was just there to make her look good. Here's my husband, he's a good-looking guy, this and this, but he wasn't fulfilled in that role.
Correct.
And the same thing happens, and so that just takes me back to my statement before, where people have to understand that God sets, you know, the perfect way, and God set the perfect formula for people to be together. And when he talks about equally yoked, it's not just two people being saved and being Christians. It's two people that are compatible, that are financially compatible, that are educationally compatible, that are socially compatible. And so it's not hard to do. People think it's hard to do, but it's not hard to do. It's just a little talking, little communicating, and looking at these things, and then, you know, looking at them in such a way and saying that, hey, I can make this work, and we can make this work. We got all these things in common. Let's really talk about it. Is this going to happen? Do we believe in this? Do we believe in that? No, yes, no, yes. And then making the decision, you know. We're not meant to be together. Maybe we are meant to be together. And that's it. And so people have to understand that you're talking about your life here. You're talking about your children's life. You're talking about your future. And there's so much to think about when you're thinking about spending your life with somebody. And so, you know, when it comes down to it and you say, okay, I got to make sure that I didn't choose my rib, and I got to make sure that the Lord did.
Thank you. And that's basically what it boils down to. And when God is telling you to let it go, leave it alone, leave it alone. And, oh, baby, baby, please, or I'll change. It's so not worth it. So we're going to be wrapping up the show, Pastor. What do you want the listeners to know? Like how you ended it?
that don't pick your own rib, let the Lord do it. What else do you want the listeners to know? And are you going to give them a topic for next week?
Well, I just want to leave them with this, is that we're having an incredible Bible study coming up Wednesday night. We're getting back. We've been out for a couple of weeks because of different programs and holidays. We had Ash Wednesday. We started Lent. And so we're getting back to our didactic, interactive, powerful study in the book of Genesis, and that's going to be at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday at the Higher Dominion Worship Center, 800 West Mission Road in the beautiful city of San Marcos. You can look us up on hdwc.live, and we'll see you there. Oh, I do want to say one more thing. Come and see us in person. We had over 100 and some people, 150 some people watching the message on live, Facebook Live. But the message is so much powerful in person, so come see us on Sundays at 12:30. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Okay, and if you remember, until next week, remember you got this. Thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.